You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN, on a nice smooth Friday so far. Hopefully, we'll continue to be that and on into the holiday weekend. Hope everybody has a good and safe one. We'd let John start his early, so we will be holding it down. When I say we, I'm speaking of myself, of course. I am the Jason and John. And that man across the glass is the number one program director in the country. I love saying it every time we introduce Brad Carson. He's also executive producer on the ones and twos. Mm-hmm. Because it makes my boss uncomfortable. But he needs to embrace it, because as much as he does to promote us, this show, this station, dude, we're trying to promote you. That was a real list. Brad, number one PD in the country.
Every day I live down to that. Yep. That apparent title. You guys are the best, man.
You guys can feel it through the radio how uncomfortable it makes Brad for me to say that. I love doing it.
You guys
it.
Are the best.
It's a nice little icebreaker to get us in. I tell you what. I said before the first Oklahoma City-Minnesota game that this one could end up being a snoozer, meaning the series.
Right.
Kind of looks like we're headed that way.
It does. It does.
Anthony Edwards was working last night. Problem was he didn't have much help, and OKC made it look easy again, 118-103 last night. In game two, they take a 2-0 lead, and it has absolutely looked almost machine-like for OKC. We'll discuss whether or not this series is over. SGA, the MVP, raised the trophy last night in front of the crowd.
Yep.
38 points on 21 field goal attempts was his ninth 30-point game this postseason. He's shining. Shined last night on MVP night. And, boy, did he have help, including from his all-star teammate, Jalen Williams. We'll get into what OKC is doing. Minnesota has got some questions to get answered. Particularly, I'm looking over at Julius Randle right now. He's benched, if you saw it, at the end of that game. Game two tonight of Pacers-Knicks. Now, we had a ton of drama there in game one, hoping game two can live up to game one. Even saw a little bit more that I hadn't seen first night, where looked like Karl Anthony Towns and OG were getting into it a little bit on the bench. See, I hadn't seen that in the immediate after that Pacers win, and what a miraculous win it was, coming back from down nine with less than a minute to go. No, Halliburton hits the key shot to send it to overtime. But boy, was Aaron Nesmith big in that one. We'll see how big he can continue to be. John Hollinger's got a piece about X Factors, and Nesmith is a part of that. We've talked about it here. His rise, you know, what Halliburton's doing, no question about it. He is the face of the Pacers right now. But what they're getting from Aaron Nesmith, going from role player essentially, you know, really efficient role player, by the way, in the regular season to now budding star. I mean, you hit 6 fourth quarter three-pointers, tie the NBA record for three-pointers in a fourth quarter in the playoffs. I say that's Klay Thompson-like. Now, again, doing that consistently is one thing, but we continue to see great things from Aaron Nesmith. We'll see what he's got in store tonight. Game 2, Madison Square Garden. Oh, it's going to be tense up in there. College football playoff going to a new straight seeding model. We knew this was coming.
Right? Yeah.
You know, the bigger question is what's going to happen after 2026, right? Mm-hmm. When you know, you wonder if they're going to keep the old group of five spot around as the big boys sort of swing their power around. And you wonder how long they'll keep that spot reserved. We're good for now. Mm-hmm. But the Boise States of the world and even a Memphis, if it did go on and could become that group of five champion this year, you won't be a top four seed.
Yeah.
They've changed that now. And Boise State was that last year, along with Arizona State. They were fourth. They're going to straight seeding, which we should be doing, by the way, in the NFL. Looks like we're a few years off from that. Once they go to 18 games, you hear that's going to pass on through. My son, all 88 pounds of him, went out for football in Frazier yesterday.
Hey! That way, go get it.
Cut off the
go
applause.
Go get it, Chris.
Cut off the applause.
Come on,
as
Jason.
As you know, he's a basketball player. Did you hear the part about 88 pounds?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to leave it at this. Maybe we'll talk about it a little later.
Now, he's not in high school, mind you. He's still
He's 11
developing.
Years old. 11 yeah, years old, he's 88
young.
Pounds.
He's young.
That's still pretty light in the tail. There's another way to say that.
And he's got a lot of other tools in that bag, Jason.
Didn't look like it yesterday with the pads, the helmet, and the cleats on. First day he's ever played football, he's got all that on. He's out there trying to tackle the Tony Dorsett of fifth graders. You can guess what happened.
Oh, jeez.
It went something like this, like John would quote Jay-Z. Grand opening, grand closing on Chris's football career. My gosh. For two hours, dude, I was praying the entire practice that we could just get off the field healthy. But we might touch on why that was. You know, as kids, man, sometimes they get an itch. And it doesn't matter what you tell them. You can tell them, hey, your family isn't built for that.
Yeah.
But they got to go out and see sometimes on their own, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe Jake's
stick your finger in that light.
Maybe Jake's a better listener to you when you tell him stuff and try to tell him stuff about life and, hey, avoid this. But Chris is one of those guys that doesn't care about what Dad said. He has to go experience it for himself. So, a lot to get to today. Man, Colorado Rockies. Ooh.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, that's an ugly baseball story right now. But they're on pace to be historic in terms of number of losses. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I bring them up because you know my Cubs are going to get them here on Monday.
Well,
you got
all the cupcakes right now.
Got Cincinnati this weekend. Hey, Brad and I might talk a little bit more baseball today since John's gone, but we won't bore you. Don't worry. We'll touch on Cardinals, Cubs, and keep it light. 11:30 or so, we're going to talk to the great Anthony Sain, host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media Daily.
Yep.
At noon, we'll do the rundown like we usually do. Lots of stuff to get into, like we talked about, especially with college football. And again, with Memphis, sure, your spot is fine right now in terms of if you can be that group of five AAC champion, outshine the Mountain West champion, whoever it's going to be. Usually it's going to be them. Mm-hmm. You get your spot in. How much longer is that going to be the case? But more importantly, what if it's not?
Right.
What if it's not? Is this the one chance left maybe? And sometimes Greeny calls himself capable of hyperbole, very capable. Maybe in some ways I might be exaggerating. Maybe I'm not. Is this the last chance? Like when I'm saying Memphis football, we've talked about the discussion of investing more there so that by the time 2028, 2029, 2030 rolls around and we know the landscape is about to blow, as Dan Walken and others have written, because the television contracts for the power conferences will be up. There's going to be movement. We know that. That might be your last chance. As the haves and have-nots continue to divide more, we're getting the house settlement, everything else that's coming out. If you can't jump on, because I guarantee you that group of five playoff spot ain't going to be there forever. And if you can't get in with the big boys now, whether that's a new look ACC or whatever it's going to be, is this your last chance? We'll discuss some of that in the rundown. 125, we'll talk, of course, to Parthu Pajai, our Friday regular now, 125. Thankful for that because we had a lot of Tiger news. He's been on vacation. He's back now, is my understanding. Grateful that he'll be back with us at 125 because we've got Curtis Givens III, commitment. We've got Dante Harris defecting, leaving. We know Memphis already had brought in a plethora of guards, so not necessarily unexpected there. But Dante Harris out, scheduling news with two of those Louisville games in that six-game series being in Nashville, knowing now, too, since we last talked to Parth, that Memphis is going to get a shot at a team that might be ranked number one in the country when it does in Purdue. So a lot to discuss with Parth Upadhyay at 1:25 p.m. That'll be third hour. To get us started, though, and usually, Brad, I'd have sent this over to you, so apologize for that. Maybe we'll get your take and then mine. How about a little bit of over-under? Brad, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to your answers on this.
I am, too.
You go, I go. How about that?
I like it.
You are John today.
All right.
And I wonder if you're going to bring your betting expertise. Now,
that's all luck.
Last night, Fade Brad, look at you, Mr. OKC.
I'm not happy about this for the listeners.
Well, though. You laid him, and it was an integrity pick, and look at you.
It is.
I'm kind of having fun when you win now. Because, again, like I say, I think our listeners are smart enough at this point to realize Brad's been red hot in these playoffs. Now, what, 9 games over .500? They're probably tailing you at this point. And frankly, you've been better than John in some situations.
Yeah.
So we'll see if you can be in over under.
Okay.
Here's the first number, Brett.
All right.
5.5. Number of games this OKC Minnesota series is going. Over or under?
It's going under. It's going under because the Oklahoma City Thunder are dominant. They are as good as advertised. And the thing that I'm learning is that maybe our plucky Grizzlies, we didn't give ourselves enough credit over here during our own series because what were we saying? If Ja Morant would have played, we would have had a chance not only in that, was it game four, but maybe game three. You know, things could have turned out a little
different. Oh, you win game three.
You win game three.
And then possibly as tight as game four was, as well played as it was by a shorthanded Grizzlies team. You're telling yourself that you could have tied that thing 2-2 if Ja had been out there.
So it's under, and it's given me an opportunity to sort of reframe how I view the Grizzlies. Also, how I view Minnesota, because I thought Minnesota would look better on the road even in these first two games, because I don't think it's going to get much better at home. The thing that was interesting in the second half, maybe in the second quarter even, before I went to bed, and this thing was over, was like they really weren't running Mike Conley out there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He
was the only thing that was a plus, and the plus minus, he's plus 14.
They were trying things with their rotation. They were at a loss. So, and if you listen to the bench, because they had the open mic thing, the vibes were not good over there. So this thing is going under, and it's kind of unfortunate because I was hoping it would be a little more of a series for Minnesota. It's not going to be.
I agree that this one's an easy under. I don't think it's going to be a sweep because I think Minnesota can get one of the two at home.
Yeah.
Right? You would hope.
I hope. I'm rooting for them.
But I am going that this thing doesn't get past five games. At one point, I thought, okay, six. But here's the issue, and we've said it all the way through. Minnesota turns it over too much. 19th in turnover percentage in the regular season through 12 playoff games. They're 12th of the 16 teams. OKC, by the way, is number one, the team they're facing, and they didn't turn it over last night. Look at the Randall situation. It's key here, I think. Last night, 6 points, 4 turnovers in 32 minutes. He now has 9 turnovers in the two games. We know you cannot turn the ball over against OKC. It is their best offense. Randall, the 9 turnovers, it's just 2 fewer field goals than he has in the two games. Now, we were saying he's playing great first half, and he was. Game one, he was playing great. He was hitting 3-pointers. But what that also did, man, he started feeling himself.
Right.
And by the end of it, you've got Julius Randle, the career, basically, 3-turnover-per-game guy that he is, feeding OKC. So as much as he's given you, gave you in game one, he was giving back. And last night, he was doing more giving than he was in terms of scoring or anything else. And so that was the issue. And it's part of the reason why I think, and I didn't listen afterwards to hear Chris Finch on the decision. I think I might have heard a touch, just trying to get a different look.
Yeah.
But Julius Randle's been key for them. He was in the regular season. He had sort of settled in, what are we talking about here, the last couple of series, as the number two guy to Anthony, in some cases could take over when Anthony was out. Right now, he's killing them against his style, his loose style, and it's a career thing. He's not, I'll say this about Julius Randle, because it looked like he had said, he's not a bad player. He's just not a number one option. And here's the issue. When he gets going, sometimes he gets too going, where he starts to believe, I'm the guy. But what has always come with that his entire career, and it did in games one and in this game, have been the turnovers. I think it's 2.8 this year. I think it's 2.8 for his career. He's been right around 3 his entire career. Unfortunately, for this matchup, that kills you. Now, let's go back to Minnesota and sort of what they've done, too. Because you have to acknowledge that in knocking off the Lakers and Golden State, They got it easy, didn't they?
They sure
remember,
did.
Remember, yes. It was LeBron James trying to cover their right. centers.
Right, right.
That right? Yeah. Plus, J.J. Redick playing them the entire second half, those vets that he... But my point, those starters, he played them the entire second half. They were as thin as it got. But point, you got LeBron James trying to stop Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, Julius Randle. It wasn't happening. And then you advance. You move on to a Golden State team that loses Steph. And so after losing game one, you're able to cruise. But they have benefited from the matchups in yes. a way that sort of covered up some of their flaws.
Yes.
Again, 19th in turnover percentage for the season, 12th for these playoffs. This is something that's continued. Those flaws were covered up
yep.
by the teams they were able to beat because of what they were going through. Lakers as thin as they were. That was a good matchup for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Of course, a Steph-less Golden State matchup ends up being a good one for you. They might have been in trouble, probably were, if Steph finishes out that series. Here?
No. Well,
here is where it kills you against an yes. OKC team that is operating like a machine, like we said. Here's the other part about it.
Yeah.
Julius Randle's out, right?
Yep.
You benched him because he's turning the ball over. You're looking at Naz Reid and saying, step up like you did against OKC during the regular season, right? Here's the key.
Yep.
Julius Randle missed 3 of the 4 games against OKC in the regular season when they split 2-2. Naz Reid was shining. He's coming off the bench now, and the fact is he's 0 of 12 from 3 in the first two games. And so they have, right now, they're getting Naz Reid, who can't hit the side of the barn.
He was 0 for 5
who
last
against,
night.
And 0 for 12 for the first
two
games.
The whole thing, jeez.
Of the series, he's 4 of 19.
That's brutal.
This series, he's averaging 7 points. This was a guy who yeah. was effective against OKC in the regular season. Right now, they can't even yep. depend on him. You already know Rudy Gobert is a non-factor offensively. I think he's got 7 points for the entire
yes.
series. Meanwhile, you got Jalen Williams, SGA Holmgren, assisting on 108 of the team's 118 points. The point of that stat is that they're operating efficiently. They're getting theirs easy. Ant was working.
Oh, crazy.
12 of 26, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 32 points. What a bounce-back game it was for
40
him.
40 minutes, too.
What a bounce-back game it was for him, and yet he had no help.
No.
And so he's over there sweating, playing defense, blocking shots, doing everything, and yet after that third quarter, where the second consecutive game where they've blown them out in the third
yeah.
quarter, it didn't matter what Ant was doing. He was wasting a good performance in that essence. They've got no one, and
no.
it's a bad matchup for them because they can't fix their turnover issue. Julius Randle isn't all of a sudden going to come in and give you a zero turnover game because that's never been him. That he's just never been part of a winning outfit as a guy as high priority in that one or that two spot. When he was the number one for the Knicks, they weren't a winner.
Yeah.
Right now he's offensively, yeah, at times, okay, he's the number two for Minnesota, settled into that role. But one thing that never changes is the turnovers. And against this team, OKC, it can get you killed, and it absolutely is getting them killed.
Well, the obvious thing that we're going to start talking about now, since the Knicks are still in the playoffs, is this trade that happened, because Randle and DiVincenzo are horrific now in the playoffs. Like,
well,
DiVincenzo was minus 27, and now look at what Kat's doing. And I know we pick on Kat because he's soft and he's hovering around the perimeter.
No,
but
he's
like,
first or second in the league. I think he was second in the league in rebounding.
You'd love to have second him right now.
Yeah. What's weird about that is that at first, the trades looked weird for both teams because the Cat was slowing the Knicks, was hurting the Knicks defensively. That was what they were built to do.
Yeah.
They were a great offense, right? And then Randle couldn't get going early on. They seem to both settle in.
Yeah.
Right? But now you wonder whether they're costing their teams. Again, Karl-Anthony Towns, as well as he played for stretches of game two, dude, Ananobi and him were going back and forth. Cat wasn't worried about listening to Ananobi.
Yeah.
And that's what I wonder about with Cat. Can you be a winner sort of in the same way we're questioning Julius Randle?
Yeah.
And in switching these guys, they've sort of now, they're back to some of sort of the same problems, but that they had with the other teams.
Before.
It's really weird to
it
watch
is strange.
That. Because at one point, they both looked like they had settled in,
yeah.
and the deal had worked for both. And maybe we still end up saying that based on where these teams are being in the Final Four.
Yeah.
But Cat ain't done with some of his
weird antics and stuff.
Weird antics, even his teammates. Brunson had to come over and calm it down. He's not done with that stuff. They've sort of drug him along in terms of defensively. Dude, you got to catch up.
Yep.
And it's helped them, but it's, it'll be interesting to watch. Next one, and
okay.
it deals with tonight's game. 0.5, that'd be half. Additional number of bottles of Pepto-Bismol, Stephen A. is going to need after tonight. He was given one by Malika Andrews yesterday. It was before the OKC game for that Knicks loss. Remember, they had been up 9 in the final minute of that. Never since the playoffs in 1998 have we seen a comeback of that magnitude. We have seen the Pacers do it twice before in the playoffs from seven down in the final minute. They topped that. The miraculous shot that was Tyrese Halliburton's game-tying shot to send it to overtime. Then you had Aaron Nesmith with the 6 fourth-quarter threes. It shouldn't have happened, and that's why Stephen A. was so sick and needed the Pepto-Bismol. The question is, will he be sick after tonight and need another bottle at 0.5 over-under?
I don't think he's going to need Pepto tonight because I think the Knicks are going to really respond here. I really do.
Okay. We're going to do Faye Brad later, so I don't want you to give away too much of your stuff.
I
figured we'd get some of...
I'll leave it there. You have to get it, and so that kind of tips my hand. But
you have to, man.
I think you have to get this one at the Garden because you're going back to Indy. And the truth of the matter is, as bad of a, you talked about it on your show when we saw what the Pacers did with Halliburton and the shot sending into overtime with the choke sign and the whole thing. The truth is, it wasn't as much of a choke as we thought it was. If you look at it, and the Knicks, it just was a perfect storm. You got 6 3-pointers from one dude. Like, I don't see that happening twice. So I think Stephen A. is going to have a better night tonight.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it at MSG with all the celebs out again and as urgent as the effort's going to have to be from the Knicks. You wouldn't think they're going to come out and drop this game. The weird thing is that it just seems like Indiana doesn't care.
It doesn't care
about the pressure you're facing or everything else. They just continue to do what they do, play cleanly, play fast, have you playing their pace. And I would tell you, even though the Knicks were a good offensive team, one of the best in the league this year, that pace, I'm not sure trying to run with the Pacers is the best idea for them.
No.
Especially if you've got a long series as thin as that Knicks rotation is.
Yep. Always.
So sure, you can do it, but I'm not sure it's the best plan for the Knicks in terms of, you know, you got to bank on it now, a long, you know, maybe 6-7 game series since you're already down 0-1 and you've lost home court. And so, no, I'm with you that he won't need the Pepto-Bismol tonight. But ultimately, when this thing's done and the series is already flipped in terms of the Pacers being the favorite to win the series, he's probably going to need a bottle because I guarantee you he was already envisioning and had told ESPN when those final spots in New York that he was going to be, oh my gosh, what are we talking about here? Like, he was envisioning a trip to the finals coming into this thing like the Knicks were favored. But I'll bet you right now he's thinking about being in Indiana
for
those finals. He knows this is a real deal thing.
And you and John were right. Like, this is the best rating they've had for the Eastern Conference since 18 I saw yesterday. So this is saving the NBA in terms of the two series.
And
I'm looking forward to this game. It's at 7 o'clock. We're going to carry it.
I'm telling you, the way that game ended with Halliburton doing the choke thing to Reggie Miller, and like we talked about yesterday, history sort of colliding because Reggie's in there calling the game. He's the choke guy. It was against the Knicks. I'm telling you, Silver was the happiest man ever because that gives you a storyline that right now, as much as you want to pit SGA and Ant Edwards, you're not getting as much of a one-on-one show because Ant has no help.
No.
First game, he wasn't great, but second game, he has no help. They're so thin. So you're not getting much out of that series. You imagine that viewing is probably going to go down as OKC continues to put down its dominance there. But, no, man, I mean, you relit a fire that some folks new to this rivalry, right? You saw a little bit of it last year, but you don't know how it touches back. Folks new to this rivalry, like John, you go back and you find out about the history because of how
how back in our day,
right?
Yeah.
And so it reignites sort of this series in a way that even the new folks have had to come on. Oh man, this is and Halliburton, you know, as good as he always backs it up. Like, he's talking.
He does.
The choke could have gone the other way in overtime, and he ended up backing up.
Can you imagine if he would have lost that game after doing that and going to overtime?
Well, he'd have had a decent excuse because I think most of the people at least watching, and I know there were a few in the building that were saying 2-2-2, but I think everybody was watching just like him that when he took the shot, we thought it was 3.
Oh, sure.
And so he would, you know,
his toe was barely
on the line. Yeah. And so I don't think he would have been as killed if they lose the game because we all thought – it was 3, and you would have understood that's why he did it, even if they'd gone on to lose. But no, man, I have come around on these Pacers, and at first it was just, okay, I'll respect them. They're more than just a 3-point shooting offense.
Yeah.
You know, a team that, you know, plays a clean game, be one of the best in the league in terms of not turning it over. But I'm becoming a fan.
Oh, same.
Because Nesmith's a grinder who's becoming a star. Yep. Right,
Halliburton.
Halliburton has answered this overrated call in the most absolute way that you can, being as clutch as possible in the end of these playoff games, both offensively and defensively. And so they've made me more fan of them, no question about it. And I've had to come around, just like a bunch of other folks, I imagine, because you think early on in these playoffs, Pacers finals, nobody wants to see that. But actually, and we talked about it yesterday, I think the matchup with OKC.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that can run. That's the one that's got depth.
Yep.
At least, you know, more so than some, than Minnesota or some of these other teams that might have gotten that matchup with OKC. I actually think might end up being an entertaining matchup. Who knows with storylines what that's going to look like, but that might be our best series. We'll talk. I had one more number, and it's about Jaren Jackson's money, because today is a big day, obviously, for Jaren Jackson, as we'll find out tonight whether he makes All-NBA. He makes All-NBA and get that Supermax, baby. And you can lock him up right now if you were the Memphis Grizzlies. You don't? Well, there's a whole bunch of options. But where that number is going to end up being, we'll talk a little bit more about. And may do some with the man who's up next, Anthony Sain, host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. We're going to do our usual Friday hit with him. When we come back, you're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333. Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes every single day. Make sure you're checking him out. Underground King of Memphis Sports Media. I'm Tribal Chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group. Father, five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. You can follow him on X at Sane Asylum. He joins us now, as he does every Friday at this time. Sane, is Jaren's bank account going to go to $345 million over 5 years after tonight?
No, I'd be shocked, man. Even though the voting happened, you know, weeks ago, I think that there's been a lot of conversation about, you know, Jaren and the making the All-NBA team and, of course, getting that Supermax contract. But I think that ended a long time ago. I think that ended with our decline in the standings, which also kind of lined up with Jaren playing not so good basketball after he got that ankle injury when he came back. Of course, he came back from that ankle injury trying to make that 65-game plateau, but he didn't look good at all after that. So I think that that pretty much killed Jaren. I think that seeing him make this All-NBA second team probably also co-signs it, fact that he – that shows that voters kind of looked at him differently because of the injury and because of how his play was in the second half of the season. So I don't expect to see Jaren's name called in one of those All-NBA teams. I think that, you know, when you look at teams like Houston, who got to be the second seed in the West, you have to get a guy like Sengun probably on that team.
Yep.
So I think that he's probably getting the spot that Jaren got. I could also see a guy like James Harden making one of those teams. Jalen Williams is probably going to make one of those teams. I think that that's not something that the Grizzlies have to worry about. And my show is coming on today at 12 noon. That's something I'm definitely going to talk about as well, the whole Jaren Jackson Jr. thing. Let me correct you on something else, too, Jason. I know you were saying my show is available every day. That doesn't start until June the 2nd. We start going June the 2nd at 2 p.m. every day on Bluff City Media YouTube. Today's show will go live at 12, and I'm going to take a week off next week going out of town, and I'll be back starting June the 2nd. We'll go Monday through Friday at 2 p.m.
Since we both agree he won't be getting the Supermax, what do you think is the most likely path after that? He'll be eligible for max contracts, both with the Grizzlies and with other teams. No, the Grizzlies can pay more because they can offer him another year on that. But do you? He can't sign that until 2026, which would typically, I mean, basically put him in free agency first. Or do you do? Or is the more likely option the renegotiate and extend, which gets him the more money next season, but it limits your flexibility if you do? Which way do you think we're going now that we both agree? I think we all agree he's likely not making All-NBA, and so no Supermax.
There's a lot of details about this that I really still don't understand, and I try to listen to people who I deem to be smarter than me, and I still don't understand what they're talking about for the most part. But I think the most likely or probably the thing, I think the most favorable thing for the Grizzlies to do is just to let this season play out and just sign him next summer to whatever deal you could get him at. I think he's definitely a max player, super max. I definitely don't think Jaren's that level of player. There was one point at this season where he was playing great basketball, and the resume would have made sense. If you come out of the West as a second seed, you make a run, you know, win a series or two, get to the conference finals, then Jaren has a good playoff, you're justified in him being the Supermax player at this point. At that point, the Grizzlies just have to figure it out around that. But the way that the season ended, it just wouldn't be a good look for him to get a Supermax deal. So I'm assuming that the most logical thing would be to just sign him next year. I know that there are routes where the Grizzlies could get under the cap enough to pay Jaren a very nice contract this summer. I know that there's something they can do. And I've heard, you know, a lot of paths that they could go about doing it. But we'll see how that whole thing plays out. But I think the most likely thing to happen is just to sign him next season. You know, the year he would actually be a free agent.
Yep, we're going to do that. We're going to find out how loyal Jaren Jackson really is to the organization. Because I think teams in the immediate will be able to offer him the same salary, but just for 4 years. Whereas you still get more with the Grizzlies because you're getting 5 years, significantly more. I think it's $296 compared to $220, but he's not getting any less than $220, which he would get in terms of a max contract from somebody else. I hope you're right. I mean, I hope he wouldn't take less to go to a better situation. Yeah. But then those teams have got to have that available too. They've got to have that money available.
Yeah. I hear a lot of that type of stuff too. But he's not going to a bad team. He's going to go to a situation where he can win if he's leaving. And,
right.
You know, good teams don't have cap space.
We usually. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, where is he going? So. And I don't think anything makes me think that Jaren doesn't want to be here. I think that he likes the city. I think he likes his organization. I think he likes the prospects of this team. I don't take him as a guy who's going to be chasing money, because if he was chasing money, he could have very well signed for more than what he signed for last year. I mean, a few years ago when he signed that deal with us. Yeah, I don't see him leaving here to go chase money. Because, you know what I mean? Will a team that's a bad team in a couple of years have cap space to sign Jaren? Or to max him out or put pressure on us, sure. But I don't think that's a situation he'd be willing to go to.
Talking with the host of the Anthony Sane Show, Anthony Sane, here on the Jason and John Show. All right, I've been disappointed by what I've seen from Minnesota. What about you? And did you expect this sort of dominance? Or are you with me that this has sort of been disappointing to watch, just how much of a snoozer so far the series has been?
Oh, this is going exactly the way I predicted it. Either on my show or on Twitter, this is what I pretty much predicted. It was telling to me to see how long it took for Minnesota to put the Golden State Warriors away. Even in that first game when Steph Curry got hurt, an elite-level team would have came back from whatever that deficit was and got Golden State out of here faster and in a much more dominant fashion than it seemed like Minnesota did. They're a very undisciplined team. They turn the ball over a lot. A lot of guys on the team lack basketball IQ, and a team like Oklahoma City is a perfect storm, and they look a lot like we did. And as a matter of fact, I haven't seen a moment where Minnesota's actually looked good against Oklahoma City at all. I saw a few of those with the Grizzlies, even in that game without John Morant. So I'm not really sure. I'll stand on this. Like, I've been saying this for a while. I see a lot of people that talk about how far away the Grizzlies are. I'm not really sure. I know they're far away from Oklahoma City. But my question now is, who isn't that far away from Oklahoma City? And I just kind of wonder how far we are from the other teams in the NBA, or are we in the same tier with them if we can make some of the moves we need to make this summer?
I mean, I'm right there with you. If you can, I just wonder, when we have that conversation, are we dismissing the fact that, you know, Ja Morant, his availability is so key to that.
That's the number
one
thing.
You look at these playoffs, saying, not to interrupt you, sort of solidify this point. You look at these playoffs, who's gone down in them, whether it's been Tatum or Steph, and what it is, it's a war of attrition. You got to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the main cog of the Grizzlies, right, has an issue, played 50 games last season. We don't need to go through it. I mean, hadn't been over 70. And then there's the question of, okay, well, how many of them do you play him so he can get through the playoffs? A guy who's had a history of injury issues. And so that's the part that I think we can tell ourselves, yeah, when Ja's on the floor, he's just like those dudes, or a lot like them, in terms of the ability to raise everybody up. But that's what makes him so, unfortunately, different from those guys. He ain't on the floor.
Yep, and you know what, man? I'll say this too. There aren't many things that I'm old school about when it comes down to today's NBA, but the load management and not letting guys play during the regular season, holding guys out and limited minutes and all those type of things, minutes restrictions and all that, that stuff is nonsense to me. Jason Tatum only missed two games in a row. Never. He's never done it. He's never missed two games in a row in his career, and he goes down with an Achilles injury. He also plays limited minutes throughout the season. Boston was blowing out everybody. They managed minutes. Jason Tatum was not a high-volume minutes guy. Who else was it that got hurt this year in the playoffs? Steph Curry, same way. He did not play a lot of minutes during the regular season, right? They get into the playoffs. Injuries are going to happen, man. Like, there's no way to avoid injuries when it comes down to some of the random things that happen in the NBA. And Ja Morant, as good as he is, as good as I feel like he is to the future of this organization, he's never made it past the second round of the playoffs, which means in 14 possible games, he's never made it past it. Like, he's never, and I don't mean like winning and losing games. I mean injuries. You know what I mean? He's gotten hurt in what seems like every series. I don't remember a series that we lost with Ja Morant being on the court, other than maybe that first year against Utah when we first made the playoffs. I think every season has ended with Ja hurt. Even last year against the Lakers, right?
Yes.
When we lost, yeah. And it's like, he's going to have to get his body together. And I do not co-sign the saving players things, because you see teams that – you like a team like Brooklyn, right? Not Brooklyn. A team like the Knicks, right? New York Knicks. They're a team that plays a ton of minutes the entire season. They're playing playoff minutes almost the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys' bodies, yeah, they could be susceptible to an injury, but their bodies are battle-tested, man. They got some bruises. They got some nicks. They know how to take a bump. You know what I mean? Like, these teams that, like, do all this minutes restriction, all that type of stuff, it's not proven to do anything, and these guys are still getting hurt. And like I said, I'm not a fan of that. Let these guys get their bumps. Let them get their bruises. Let them play preseason games. Let them get all that. Let them get their bodies calloused, man, so they can go out there and play basketball in the playoffs. That's one thing. Like I said, it's not many things I'm old school about, but that's definitely one of them.
Yeah, I mean, with Ja, and it was something we were talking about last year, because I know it was sort of hung on the news peg, hey, I'm going to dunk less. But the difference between him and Brunson and some of these guys that, you know, their bodies are ended up being built for, like Ja is jumping over, he's trying to jump over everybody. Yeah. Brunson's not doing it. Ant is basically a football player doing it. You know what I'm saying? His body, he turns the ankle, he walks it off, he's right back in there. Whereas with ours, who's listed at, what, 6'2", 175 pounds, how much can he work on his body based on what he's got? So that's what I'm saying. He can't get big and he can't become Derrick Rose all of a sudden, just in terms of stature. So it's the style that has to be adjusted, right?
And he's going to have to get that mid-range game going.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to get that mid-range game going. That's something the guys like Ant, guys like Brunson, they dominate in the mid-range, right? Ja's got to have to get that going.
100%.
He probably never will be a good three-point shooter in his career, but he's got to have an option other than get all the way to the basket. He's got to take care of his body too, man. You hear stories about guys like LeBron and the things they do with their body, the things they eat, the things they consume, you know, the lack of nightlife, all those type of things.
Yep.
Ja's got to take pride in his body, man, and really start investing in his body so he can be able to go that long haul. Because he was in the exit interviews, right? He says that none of his injuries he got were his fault or whatever, right? And he was, you know, blaming, getting undercut and all these type of things. He's got to make better decisions, man. Like, you know, you're trying to jump over dudes in a playoff game. Like, that ain't happening. But, like, Lou Dort is a guy who has a reputation.
He didn't let Anthony Edwards
player.
Do it in this series. He hit him all across the arm and didn't let Anthony Edwards dunk on him either. That's it.
Yeah,
like,
it's just,
you
it's just
made
not
that
happening,
point.
Bro.
You're not doing that to Dort. Yep.
Yeah, and we spoke about this before, but like I said, Ja has to take accountability for his own body, protect his body, get his body ready for the season, and hopefully he can, you know, get through a full season next year. But like I said, it's kind of disappointing to know that, you know, that I don't even know, I mean, what the most playoff games he's played in a season is, but the max is 14 because he hasn't got out of the second round, and we didn't go 7 in either series. So I want to say maybe I think we went 6. I think the most is 12. I think the most he's ever gone through, and it's a possible 12 games, and he hadn't been able to get through those because of injury. So that's kind of disheartening for sure. But he's got to take the initiative because, like I said, he's a hell of a player, man. He's the type of guy. He's on the tier with the Jalen Brunsons, the Anthony Edwards, the Tyrese Halliburtons. You know, he's on the SGAs. He's on par with these guys, right? He's that level of player when he's playing at his best. But he's got to be out there, man. So, like I said, he's got to take that on initiative on his own.
Yeah, look, he played in 5 of the 6, right? We lost the Lakers, or the Grizz lost the Lakers 4-2. He's 5 of those 6 games. Was 5 against Utah that first series. That was a five-game series. 6 against – in the win over Minnesota, and then just 3 of the 6 against Golden State. So
And the injuries, 9 times out of 10, it's involved with him doing something where he's in the air and now he's on the ground.
That was the one that the regular season thing against the Lakers too, when he had the one in the air.
It's a constant thing, you know what I mean? Yep. He's got to develop a mid-range game, man, and trust his mid-range game. And when he's done it, he's been good at it. He's just got to do it more, man.
Man, go get with CP3.
Man, for real.
I mean, he was the owner of it in terms of the mid-range game. All right, on the other side, just where were you at on Tyrese Halliburton going into these playoffs, and where are you at now? Has it changed?
He's a good player. I've always thought he's a good player. He's such a goofball to be mad.
He's a goofball, but you got to like him. Nope.
And everybody who says he's overrated, he's overrated, bro. Like, he's good. He's a guy who's going to hit big shots. He's a clutch shot maker. But he's definitely overrated.
He is
like,
he's
overrated,
he's
bro. This guy
gave
you a 4-point game. He scored 4 points in the playoffs in the game, bro. Like, he's a very inconsistent player. And if you're an inconsistent player, you're not a top-tier player in the NBA. Like, there's no room for you to score 4 points in a playoff game. Like, and I don't want to say had another game where he only had single digits as well. Like, he's really good. I'm not acting like he's not really good. But when you start talking about – when you see a graphic and it's got the 4-star players from the 4 teams – Tyrese Halliburton is not in the same – he's not on the same level as the guys that are up there with him. He's a very good player. But I don't think he's nearly – I don't think he's like top 10 player in the NBA level.
I'm not trying to make him top 10. I'm just trying
to – Yeah, I mean, people give him that type of credit for making big shots, so like for buzzer beaters and all those type of things. And, like, that's just not how it works. I think he's really good. When it comes down to, like, putting him in a certain tier of stars, I think he's probably a third-tier star of anything.
Isn't SGA just as sort of goofy and square, though? And we don't hold against him, do we, in the same way?
Oh, we do. We definitely hold it against him because people have been criticizing the crap out of that dude.
But we say SGA is the MVP. We don't say he's overrated and use that as part of an overrating, right?
Everybody says he's a foul merchant. Like, everybody's talking foul merchant, and they're trying to downplay his game.
Right.
And trying to downplay this Thunder team, which is historically one of the best teams in NBA history that we're watching. And people are constantly trying to downplay what they're doing, count them out. Stephen A. Smith came out and said that Minnesota is the odds-on favorite to win the championship. I'm like, bro, what games are you watching? Like, it's like we're watching a historically good team, and we're trying to minimize everything they're doing. SGA, both those dudes are straight-up cornballs for sure. Like, there's no – but I was having a conversation with my friend Chris Ingram today, hosting the No Bluffing podcast on Bluff City Media. We was like, bro, most of these dudes in the league are corny. Like, the days of the hard nose, like the Anthony Masons, the Charles Oakley, like those dudes don't exist, man. Most of these dudes like sit up and play video games or TikTokers or streamers. Like, they're not the days of like the mentality of basketball players. Just
Tony Allen's I put in that group.
Yeah, the Tony Allen's, Zach Randolph's, those type of guys like don't exist. Like, the mentality of those guys. Like, these guys don't really club like that. You know what I mean? For the most part, like, they're just a bunch of guys. Like, the league is a whole lot more. Tyrese Halliburton and SGA than it is, you know, the Michael Jordan, the Kobe Bryants, you know, whoever you're talking about in years past.
No, there's no question about that. Do you, in terms of these Knicks and the rest of this series, are you expecting 6-7 games and then they've still got a shot. You expect an answer tonight, and we've got a nice long series here, or is, are they getting exposed by a Pacers team that, you know, seemed to have them at their pace last game?
Mm-hmm. Man, I honestly don't know, man. Like, this stuff is so fickle, man. Sometimes, like, you can – like, when we came into the playoffs, a lot of people were predicting Detroit to beat New York, right? And you saw the Knicks kind of look vulnerable a lot against Detroit. Yep. And then they got their legs underneath them. They got their confidence. They got Detroit up out of here. Then they played a series against – who was it? Boston, right? You played Boston, and you finally beat a good team, right? You beat Boston in the playoff game, and you start getting your legs under you even more. You start getting more and more confidence. You're like, man, you know what? We're not the team that couldn't beat the good teams. We're a really good team right now. We're rolling. But sometimes a super deflating loss like you had with a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, pretty much controlling that game for the majority of that game, and then just a total collapse in the fourth quarter. Yep. You know this, man. We grew up watching the Orlando Magic with Shaq and Penny lose their first game to Houston and just totally never bounce back from it. Mm-hmm. Just totally be deflated, you know, in a big playoff series. We've seen that before. And those type of losses, man, can totally deflate a team. Even the Grizzlies, that year that we lost to the Clippers, when the Clippers had that big 20-something point comeback in the fourth quarter, that type of stuff can, like, totally deflate a team, man. You lose a game at home. It's New York City we're talking about, and you lose a game like that. I got to see before I say anything because, like I said, that can totally deflate a season for sure.
We saw that – to go back to Ja real quick, because you got me – and why we should all be just, you know, whatever you do, pray, hope, whatever else it is that mm-hmm. it works out, because we got a reminder of his star power this past weekend at EYBL when he stepped in there. And that place, whether it was the shoes had already gone online. We had talked to you about that last Friday, right at mm-hmm. 9 a.m., the Kool-Aids or whatever, they were gone within minutes. But then just the pop-up that Nike ended up doing, you know, with a Foot Locker over the EYBL, he comes in there, man, and bro, it's just different level. It's you know, it's Penny Hardaway when he came back to Memphis as an Orlando Magic player, right? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the one you can reach out and touch now as the Memphis coach and feel like you know him, but that star that Penny was at his height. I mean, it's you know, and had Lil Penny on the commercials. It's mm-hmm. all that with Ja, man. That thing they did, like we talked about with the controversy occasionally, like laying into that Nike did, you know, got the kids, oh man, you know, giggling with the it's just his brand power, the potential of it is so strong. We were reminded of that, it felt like over the weekend.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. Like you think about, like, you know, me and you, I'm gonna take you back, you're gonna laugh at this one. Take it back to the Penny Hardaway Magic Johnson All-Star Classic. Remember that you said
that?
Man,
I remember that. Yep. I still got my ticket, actually. I can't believe you brought it up. Yeah. Most folks don't remember that at all. Yep.
Yeah, like, you know, I remember Penny walking in the building and he got a bigger pop than Magic Johnson. You know what I mean? Like, people don't understand, man. Penny Hardaway was a rock star whenever he would pop back in the city of Memphis. If he came down here for the blood, for whatever he was doing, you know what I mean? He was that level of star. And we talk about cornballs, right? You talk about, like, the Halliburtons of the world, the SGAs of the world. Ja Morant walks up in any arena with plain clothes on, you know,
yeah,
in any
not
type
the same.
Of event like that.
You're right.
It's not the same.
That's what they don't have that he does.
And you see Oklahoma City joke about Aura and all these type of things, SGA, but everybody kind of looks at SGA like he's a weirdo. Or I say he's AI. I say somebody typed in prompts. I said somebody typed in prompts for, like, you know, cool black, good basketball player, and SGA came out. And it's like, okay, that's AI. That's not really a cool black dude. You know what I mean? He's a cornball. So, but Ja's got that juice for real, man. Like, he's really that dude. You know what I mean? And like I said, I've been to a row of basketball games and seen, you know, hordes of kids, you know, in line to sign stuff with Ja Morant. And it's still that way now, even with the two gun situations and the gun celebration and the crazy things he says at press conferences. And, you know, Ja's never been the guy who's all smiles and giving great answers. He's always super dry at a press conference where he's saying something crazy. And he's never – but it's something about him that even, you know, the youngest of kids in urban and suburban markets still love. And like I said, that goes back to what we talk about. I've had conversations with people who talk about, man, the Grizzlies need to, you know, cut their losses with Ja. Man, that dude's a rock star, man.
He's box office.
That's a really big risk you're taking for sure.
Last thing I got for you, I got to get you out here. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you joining us. And it doesn't matter what you do with the rest of the roster. I think this is first and foremost. But Ja Morant over under 65 games played next year. He's done it once in his career, Saint. Mm-hmm. Out of the six previous seasons, went 67 that rookie year. Is he gonna go 65 or more this year?
Man, I think certain things. There's something else too. Like people talk about, you know, the criticism on Zach Kleiman, right? When it's like, okay, my thing is, I think I'm more confident than most people about Zach Kleiman because I think he sees the same thing we see, right? And I think he's admitted to see the same things that we see. And the same thing with Ja Morant. I'm not gonna say it's happening, but I kind of feel more confident about that now than ever because I think Ja understands the impact of him not making games. Not just for the team's sake. I really think Ja feels a way that like he's missing all-star games. He's not making all-star teams.
I hope
he's
he
not
does.
Making all
yeah.
Right. He's not making all NBA teams. And when you have a marketing machine behind you like Nike, I think that there's also added pressure from them. Like, dude, you need to be playing All-Star Weekend. Like we need to make a Ja All-Star shoe. And you're actually wearing it in an All-Star game. You know, like we need to, because they didn't drop an All-Star shoe this year, right? For Ja. Like, that needs to be a thing. Back being a thing.
Didn't they do the pop-up, though, like when he was 2 years ago or whatever it was? They did one, just to your point, when he was one, I think they did one. Maybe it's in Utah or wherever it was. They dropped it. Yeah.
I think Nike really wants Ja to be that all NBA level player again. And I think that, this year we had. You know, for some reason, Taylor Jenkins got in the room with his assistant coaches and said, okay, let's figure out a way to make Ja worse. Like, that happened this year. That won't happen next year, I'm assuming. I'm assuming he's going to go back to being the 23, 24, 25 point per game score. But, like I said, I think it would be disingenuous for him to say that he's okay with not making all-star teams, not making all NBA teams. And I think that that's something we'll see him back. Doing it very soon next year. But that, like you said, it does require that 65-game threshold because even if he had a good season last year, just because he was missing so many games around the time of All-Star voting, he would never get in. So I'm sure that's something he's more focused on for sure.
I'll never understand how Noah LaRoche convinced Taylor that, less pick and roll was a good thing in that case. Sane, you're the best, man. Appreciate you,
man,
brother.
Have a
great holiday weekend, man. Yes, sir.
All right,
he is Anthony Sane, host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. Will be daily come this summer. Make sure you are tuning in over at Bluff City Media. Appreciate him joining us again. Follow him on X at Sane Asylum. Now, I was reminded of why I want this to work so badly with Ja. Although I can sit up here and very realistically tell you I'm concerned. I'm concerned that the man hadn't been over 65 games but one time in his career over 6 years.
That's right.
I'm concerned that he didn't feel like he changed the game enough this year, right, adjusting it so that you could stay on the floor. But you're reminded of what all the potential that is there when you see all those kids, the way those shoes went, just the brand power. Like Sane saying, Nike's got to be – dude, this could be every All-Star weekend. We're releasing shoes and everything else, and we're not out there. Hopefully, after six seasons, again, it's not people having to tell Ja, bro, we got to change it up. Whether it's strengthening our body, getting more serious about conditioning, or just the way we're playing the game, hey, getting more of a mid-range game. You're hopeful it's finally hitting him, that he's the one looking at it and saying, I'm missing out on a lot of, forget, there's what it's doing with my team, right? And I got to make it through a playoffs and everything else and all, but I'm missing out on a ton of opportunity in terms of being a true face of this league. It's still there to get. It is absolutely still there to get from him, but it's going to require some adjustments. I'm one who's hoping it happens. Memphis needs him at his best right now. We got much more to do, including the rundown. We'll do that hour number two. Talk again about SGA's performance last night, whether this series are over. Get into tonight's game, Knicks-Pacers game two. We'll talk some college football. We're doing the right thing in the direct seeding now in the college football playoff. The question is going to be, how much longer is the spot going to be open for teams like Memphis and Boise State? We'll discuss that and much more next hour. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.